This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
Welcome back to the show on a Friday. Great to have you with us. I'm Jinx. We got my good friend Nick Ashew sitting in for Chelsea today. We know how it works on this show. Chelsea gives me a hard time, but not anymore. It's a bully-free Friday. In fact, it's a sausage party Friday. Me and Nick making our bets. Just hanging out. We're just hanging out, making some bets. Talking some sports, just a couple guys, no big deal, getting ready for the weekend.
The best part, the intensity on your face when you said sausage party, too. It's a sausage party, just hanging out, making some bets, man. Yeah. You know, this is...
no big deal, sitting on the couch, eating our Cheetos, celebrating, some money.
The Micah Parsons talking about it's not time to get on the couch and eat Cheetos. We clearly know what his cheat meal is. Like, couldn't you come up with something a little bit more exotic? Like, I would take something like a big plate of barbecue or pizza or just something that that's just me. Those are the things that I would just sit and eat until I can't feel feelings anymore. But Cheetos, not even, I'll be honest with you, Cheetos are overrated. They're not that great. They're okay,
Nick.
But I would rather have Cheez-Its. And I'd rather have a ton of different kinds of chips than I would just Cheetos.
You would rather have Cheez-Its instead of Cheetos?
Cheez-Its are fantastic. And if you disrespect one of the greatest crackers of all time, Jenks, I will not do the rest of the show with you.
Nick, both can be true. I love a good box of Cheez-Its. I love Cheetos, but I would never say that Cheetos are overrated. Greatest crackers? You're saying Cheez-Its are the greatest crackers. I just want you on the record here.
What would be better, Triscuits?
Whoa, no.
Yeah, Bill.
That's not a cracker.
Bill is getting very upset. Triscuits are absolutely a cracker. What else would they be?
They're their own category. Triscuits are Triscuits.
Okay. Wheat Thins over Cheez-Its. What are we doing here? Why am I even... Graham crackers? No, that's... Graham crackers, totally different category, because Graham crackers are... like sweets, and it's just like that comes in a different category.
They're actually called crackers. How can you say they're in a different category when the name is Graham crackers?
No cheese. They're not apples. That animal crackers, Bill. You lost your mind.
Like animal crackers. Those aren't crackers. Graham crackers. Those aren't crackers. They're crackers in the name, Nick. They have to be crackers.
There are different categories of crackers, Jenks. There are salty crackers, there's sweet crackers, there's cheesy crackers.
They're crackers.
Crackers. But you wouldn't compare, like, if you're having a craving for a snack, you're not going to go, I want Graham crackers or Cheez-Its. They're two very different things. You either want something sweet or you want something salty. That's how this works. They're
either a sweet cracker or a salty cracker. They're all crackers.
But you can't, that's why I'm not comparing Graham crackers to Cheez-Its, because they're completely different. I'm comparing Wheat Thins or Wheat Thins and Triscuits to something like Cheez-Its, which are way better. It's not even close. Water cracker over cheese. Bill, how do I work with you? How can I work with somebody that has the most horrible opinions? Water crackers over Cheez-Its? Cheez-Its are an American staple for a snack. They're the greatest snack of all time. Although, what would we categorize Goldfish? Would those be a cracker? Because they're not shaped like a traditional cracker, but it's kind of the same cracker texture.
It's the same thing as a cheese. It just shaped like a fish. That's all it
is. Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
They taste a little different, though. They're a little bit different.
This is the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Great to be with you on a Friday. You know how it is. We're getting ready for the weekend, loosening things up here. He's Nick Ashew. I'm Michael Jenkins. Let's find out where the money is flowing in Vegas.
Stealing money.
Well, Nick, if you want to place a bet on Chargers at the Bengals with the Bengals laying 3, and you place down a big bet, you can buy all the Goldfish that you want. The money continues to pour in on the Chargers, which I like to hear. On Tuesday, the Bengals had 81% of the handle. On Wednesday, that went down to 70%. This morning, the Bengals have 61% of the handle. I love the Chargers. I am betting on the Chargers, Nick. And the thing that gets me about this game is, even though the money has come in on the Bengals early, and that slowly started to dissipate, this line has not budged.
It makes me uncomfortable when you have a game of two teams that they feel like similar teams, right? Like
right.
They're kind of in a similar position where there was a lot of hype around the Chargers, a lot of hype around the Bengals earlier in the year, And I'm looking at the Bengals going, you know, there's some value on them possibly winning the division, a worse the first team. But then they've both then gone through these ebbs and flows throughout the year. And then the Bengals are just a field goal favorite at home against a very similar team. I hate this line. I'm very uncomfortable with it. It's just one of those that screams trap line for me. But it's very clear that a lot of people see that -3 with the Bengals and go, you know, this is an opportunity for the Chargers here to maybe steal a game on the road, at least cover. I'll say this. It is going to be a great – it's going to be one of those quarterback matchups of two young quarterbacks that I think want to compete against each other and show who's the better young quarterback. But I hate the line, man. Like, it's just one of those lines that makes me cringe given the situation.
I just believe this is going to be the classic pros versus Joes, where all of the pros are going to be on the Chargers in this spot, and the public is just going to hammer the Bengals based on what we saw last week against the Steelers. We'll see what happens, but I'm definitely on L.A. Nick, as we know, football is a team sport, but some players shine brighter.
A prop to play.
Let's help the people win some money with a few props here, Nick. Let's start with you. What do you got?
Yeah, I got Joe Burrow under 245.5 passing yards. It just kind of branches off what we were talking about earlier just a second ago in this Bengals-Chargers game, where it's two young quarterbacks, and it's going to have this feel of, no, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Let me make the point to show that I'm the next great young quarterback coming up in this league. There's a lot of ego, I think, involved in this, but I'm going to go past just the emotional side of this between the two, the mental side. Joe Burrow is only averaging 206.7 yards a game passing over his last three games, and he's only got two touchdowns and three interceptions. He has not played well over his last three games. And I'll admit, look, Jenks, I have been on the Bengals bandwagon, not as much as I am on the Colts now. The Bengals were my first bandwagon team of the season, but Burrow and the Bengals have not played as well as they did earlier this year. But just alone, from a Joe Burrow standpoint, I don't trust the way that he has played over the last 3 weeks, and that's enough to tell me that 245 is too high, so I'm taking the under.
Okay. I'm going to bet that game as well. I'm going to go Joe Mixon over 86.5 rushing yards at -115. Now, this is sort of a hedge against my Chargers bet in case it doesn't come home, but this is a high number. I get it. But if there's anyone who can hit it, it's got to be Mixon. He's third in the NFL in total rushing behind Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. But more to the point, he has crushed this number in his past two games because the Bengals finally realized, you know what? Let's hand this guy the football and let him work. He had 165 yards against the Steelers last Sunday, had 123 against Vegas the week before. Now he suits up against a Chargers defense that is dead last in the NFL against the run. And by the way, this game has the highest total of the week at 50.5. So there's going to be a lot of points in this game. And I think Mixon can hit this prop and the Chargers can still cover because, again, we should see a high-scoring contest. Joe Mixon over 86.5 rushing yards. That is -115 at BetMGM.
I'm a big fan of hedging bets, by the way. It makes you feel a lot more comfortable going into a game. Like, listen, no matter what, I might get something out of this. I'll feel a little bit better about it. Big hedger.
Nick, I'm a big hedger as well. And I think the Chargers can cover and we see a lot of points and Joe Mixon still has a big day. That's what I'm hoping for. What else you got?
I have got the Eagles at the Jets. Both teams to score 10-plus points at no. I always feel like that's weird to phrase it that way, but we'll just go with that. No at plus 400. That's a lot of plus money for something that has a very real possibility of happening. Because as long as Zach Wilson is starting for the Jets, there's a very good chance that he throws an awful interception where you're watching him going, did you just blindfold yourself and think that you were going to do this like the Karate Kid with no sight? Those are some of these interceptions where I watch with this kid going, were you paying attention at all to what's going on in front of you right now? So I always look at the Jets as an opportunity to just have a horrible game statistically. And for both teams to score 10-plus points in most settings in an NFL game, I'm going to look at that, Jenks, and be like, oh, come on. Like, that's ridiculous. There's no way. But at plus 400 for just one team to have 9 points or fewer, that feels like a very real possibility. And by the way, Jalen Hurts with the up-and-down roller coaster that he can be, where you have moments where Jalen Hurts makes these spectacular throws and you say, wow, like I see the physical talent that he has. And then you watch also really bad interceptions, not as bad as Zach Wilson, because nothing's as bad as a Zach Wilson interception, then you say, oh, that's why they still aren't really sure whether he's going to be a long-term starter in Philadelphia. There's a chance there that Eagles offense could even falter one week. So this just feels like an opportunity with the Eagles and Jets, not only taking the under in this game, but looking at one team possibly scoring under 10 points at plus 400, man. There is value in that.
Love that play when you can get a lot of plus money. I'm also going to tell you on that. My final one, Nick, now the number has not been posted at BetMGM just yet. I'm going to go Mike Evans over his receiving yards total with the Bucs visiting the Falcons. That should be around 61 and a half once it's posted. Again, the total in this game actually tied with the Chargers-Bengals game for the highest total of the week, 50 and a hook. We're going to see a lot of points. Evans has hit this number in three out of his last five. And while the Falcons' defense is pretty good against the pass, the Bucs always put up points against the Falcons, at least with Tom Brady. In three games against Atlanta in a Bucs uniform, the Bucs have scored at least 40 points in every single game. In other words, Evans will get a lot of opportunities. He eclipsed this number back in week two when these two teams met in Tampa. Give me Mike Evans over his receiving yards total. Should be around 61 and a hook. Minus 115 is probably the juice you're going to get that on. So that is my final prop.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.